God had big plans. Around Thanksgiving time in the year 446 BC, Hanani, or Hank, a brother to Nehemiah, came from Judah. And Nehemiah, or Nehi, questioned him about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem.
So, Hank, how are things going in the old country?
Nehi, you don't want to know.
Hank, I want to know.
I'm telling you, you don't want to know.
Very well then, Hank, I don't want to know.
I'll tell you. Those who survived the exile are back in Judah and are in great trouble and disgrace. Nehi, the walls of Jerusalem are in ruins. The gates have been burned with fire, and both First Avenue and Dubuque Street are closed for construction.
Yeah, it was bad. The kind of things you write a country song about. So Nehi mourned, fasted, and prayed. You know, basically a typical Cubs baseball season. But not this year.
O Lord, hear my prayer. I confess the sins we Israelites have committed against you. We have not obeyed your laws. You told us that if we were unfaithful, you'd scatter us among the nations. But you also promised that if we repented, you'd return us from exile. Hear my prayer, and help me to approach my employer, King Artaxerxes of Persia.
Yes, Nehi was cupbearer to the king of Persia, King Artaxerxes. And about 3 to 4 months later, Nehi approached the king about Jerusalem.
You can call me Art. It's simpler, and I'm a simple man.
Wait, don't touch that cup. Touch this one instead. That was a close one.
Nehi, good and trusted cupbearer, once again you have saved my life. Why do you look so downcast? Someone take your last bagel?
Sir, it's my people. They're returning to Jerusalem, but things are still bad there. The people are impoverished, depressed, and unprotected.
Like fans after the season's over, huh?
Exactly. The walls of the city are in ruin, the gates have been burned with fire, and the new water park isn't even open.
You want me to fix these problems?
Good king, I couldn't trouble you with such a concern.
Nehi, I would do anything for you. Well, maybe not the water park. That's asking a bit much.
Well, in that case, good king, I need 3 things. First, time off. Secondly, safety in my travels. And third, I need materials to rebuild the city gates.
That's it? That's all? No problem.
Really? You do that for me?
Nehi, it's not like you're asking me to sell an 80-year-old church or provide affordable health insurance. Only God can do that.
So Nehi set off, and King Art provided him guards for his journey, commanded Asaph and Sons Lumber Liquidators to provide materials for rebuilding the city gates, and loaned him his Persian Express card to cover incidental expenses.
Persian Express, don't return from exile without it.
But then the plot thickened.
Plot thickened? What are we? Matzah soup?
Very well. Then entered Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite.
You call this a skit?
Where's my agent? Who booked me in this production?
Yes, they were critics. Scripture tells us they, quote, were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites.
It's welfare, I tell you.
They got themselves into this mess. They could get themselves out of it.
But our hero, Nehi, cupbearer turned civil engineer, went right to work assessing the condition of the city walls and gates and the resources available to him. 40 leaders, 45 sections of wall, and 10 gates.
All right, team. Rod, you take the fish gate. Shepherd and Sons, you guys get the sheep gate.
Pardon me, sir, but how are we supposed to train fish to use a gate?
Fishermen. Who but God alone could complete a project with fishermen? All right, Seabiscuit, you get the horse gate. E. Howard and G. Gordon, you get the water gate.
What about me? Where am I supposed to go?
Flo, you get the fountain gate, and bring 3 coins with you. And Biff, you get the dung gate.
Why do I always get the dung gate?
Because, Biff, you're the only one that has hip waders.
Like, barf me out. Grody to the max.
Like, gag me with a spoon.
Oh, yes. Stacy and Ashley, you two get the Valley Gate.
Wait, you, like, totally want me to build something?
Ashley, hello. Like, who else are they going to get to build the Valley Gate? Like, we could build a mall and call it the Hinnom Valley Mall, or, like, the Mall of Judah.
I'm kind of partial to the Jordan River Mall. Nehi, this is, like, so totally amaze.
Tubular. And, like, we can totally catch some, like, totally awesome UVs.
Are you serious? UVs? I'm, like, so sure.
Ashley, it's an outside job. Duh.
As if.
For sure.
Whatever.
Maybe fishermen aren't so bad. And you all wonder why I pray all the time. All right, team, bring it in. Let's win one for Yom Kippur. Ready, break.
2, 4, 6, 8, let's go build the Valley Gate. 2, 4, 6, 8, let's go build the Valley Gate.
What are those three apple trees doing? Will they restore their wall and offer the sacrifices?
Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble?
Why, their walls won't even stand the weight of a small fox, let alone troops of enemy soldiers.
Further, Nehi's critics urged people to come out and vandalize the project. So the workers had to split their time between building and standing guard against vandals. But still, Nehi's workforce was committed, staying on the job day and night, which led to some labor unrest and even a mortgage and loan crisis, recorded in Nehemiah 5.
Ah, good people of Jerusalem. We're progressing so well, aren't we?
Oh, Nehi, far be it from us Israelites as a people to complain. But in order for us to stay alive, we need food to eat. Only we have none, having to spend all our time working on the wall.
We had to, like, mortgage our fields and, like, our homes to get food during this famine?
And even some of us had to mortgage our fields and vineyards.
And some of us had to sell our sons and daughters into slavery as collateral, because our fields and our vineyards already belonged to others.
And you?
Like, I totally broke a nail!
When Nehi heard their outcry, he went to the creditors and lenders to arrange for cancellation of their debt and made corrections to ease the mortgage crisis, took a cut in his own pay, and even bought some new nail polish for Ashley. But having failed at stopping the progress on the wall, Nehi's critics tried to distract Nehi's task at hand, as recorded in chapter 7.
Toby, take another letter to Nehi. The wall is done, and only the gates remain. We have to get him away from the project before it's completed.
We've sent Nehi 4 letters already. Any ordinary slouch would jump at a chance to ditch a project like that for a little rest and relaxation.
I guess he really isn't interested in a timeshare in Branson. I think it's time for a more direct threat.
Something like, "Dear Mr. Nehemiah, you'll be swimming in Euphrates in concrete water shoes if you don't come see us. Warmest regards, Sambalot and Associates."
Real subtle, Toby.
Okay, how about this? "Dear Mr. Nehemiah, the word on the streets is that you are about done with the wall. You are ready to declare yourself King of Judah. And you've even arranged for the newsboys to sing at your inauguration. You wouldn't want this word to reach King Art, if you know what we mean. Yours truly, Sambalat and Associates."
They delivered the letter and even had another associate contact Nehi to imply that he was in grave danger of being seized for his acts of treason. Still, Nehi remained faithful, and the wall, which had sat in ruins for nearly half a century, was completely rebuilt by October 445 BC in only 52 days. God has big plans, and he completes them.
All right, team, huddle up. We did it. Even with the unlikeliest of circumstances and the unlikeliest of time frame, using the unlikeliest cast of characters.
Our God worked through us to do immeasurably more than anything we could have asked or imagined.
Amen. Amen. So there you have in the skit a portrayal of the homecoming of the Israelites who were carried off into exile in Babylon, coming back to Judah. And God provided immeasurably more for them. It wasn't easy, but God provided over and over again. The same was true when the Israelites went into Cana. When they crossed the Jordan River and they went to the Battle of Jericho, God provided for them over and over and over again. And the same was true when they came out of Egypt in the exile and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. God had provided over and over and over. It's the same story throughout the entire Bible, all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way forward to today. God continually provides for his people over and over. He provides immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. Here, in this divine service, he is providing immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. From the very first invocation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, when God's peace is poured on you, all the way to the very end of the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you. God's peace, his grace, his mercy is poured out immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. And that's the good news. For us, for we have a God that does immeasurably more. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.